Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, we're right back to it. Bitsy and Hart on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Why, right now, one of the college football showcases is on the television box and underway. That's right. The Senior Bowl, brought to you by Reese's, where our friend Jim Nagy frequently joins the airwaves here at WEEI and tells us about the many great prospects that are on display in one of the college football all-star games, as you will. That and the East-West Shrine Bowl, which took place just two nights ago, and here to tell us about some of the talent that he witnessed this week and who Patriots fans are going to fall in love with, only to probably watch go to rivals, would be, of course, joining us on the Harbor One Hotline, the one and only Mike Cadlick from WEEI.com. How has this information overload, download, Senior Bowl, Shrine Bowl, talent consumption fest gone for you so far this week, Mike?
There is a lot to take in, obviously split up between 2 weeks. I forget if last year, if they were on different weeks or if I just paid more attention to the Shrine Bowl because the Patriots were coaching. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of guys to obviously look forward to. You try and look at it from a Patriots lens, but you also kind of just look at talent in general. Like when me and Andy did our one-off Wednesday episode of Six Rings, we kind of started talking about defenders, or I tried to, you know, put it in because there's some good talent out there when, you know, really what we know is the three big holes here are quarterback, wide receiver, and tackle. And so, like you said, a lot of information overload, but we'll try and cover as much as possible, as we get towards the draft here.
So speaking of offense, the week, one of the topics du jour, as Rich Keefe would like to call it, is Bo Nix struggling this week. The quarterbacks, maybe in general, the top guys struggling a little bit. And then I saw a note today about the balls were slick and that was a problem, and Bo Nix actually came around and his last day of practice was his best. So give me a summary of what you think has gone on with the quarterbacks, and in particular, Bo Nix this week.
Yeah, I mean, to tell you the truth, I think the balls being slick is a load of garbage as far as an excuse thing. Like, I mean, what are we doing here? Like, I think about it too. With, you know, I remember a couple of years ago they were talking about, you know, Mac Jones not being able to play in the weather, and it's like, well, you kind of need to be able to play in the weather to play quarterback in New England, and you know, the same goes for any football. Like, you have to be able to just grab the ball and throw it. And they, you know, they like them perfect and they like them at a certain PSI and they go through the whole thing. Tom Brady made us well aware of that.
We're not going down that road today.
No, but I mean, it's true. So you got to be able to, you know, grab the ball and throw it no matter what the conditions are. As far as the quarterbacks in Mobile, Michael Penix not playing in the game today, but he looked probably like the number one guy there this week. Mm-hmm. Also, Spencer Rattler has really rebounded himself this week. He was a guy who when he was at Oklahoma with Caleb Williams as his backup, he was supposed to be like the next big thing in the pros. There was mock drafts of him being the number one overall pick. Obviously, he you know, that he fluttered out there. There was some bad PR around him. And now, you know, he had a good season in South Carolina, and he had a good week this week in Mobile, and he played well on his first couple drives in the game today as well. So he's a guy who has really, you know, done a 180 on his outlook, I guess, for the league. The other one, Bo Nix, Andy, you're right. He wasn't great this week. He struggles with accuracy. Like, he really doesn't impress me, Fitzy. I know he's one of your guys, but I'm really not huge on Nix, even as like a second round pick. I just don't see it. And then Joe Milton, who has the strongest arm, one of the stronger arms I've ever seen from a quarterback. He had a decent week in practice, but and he's from Tennessee, and he had a tough go of it today too. So it's never really the top tier quarterbacks at these events. It's sort of your second, third round picks, and you know, just again, it's a showcase for a reason. But that's sort of my take on the quarterbacks. Is it was Penix and Rattler really had the best weeks, I would say.
All right, you're hearing it here first. Breaking news, everybody. All the quarterbacks in the 2024 draft stink, and the Patriots should go.
So take the tackle.
Yeah, that's right. Take the tackle. Shut up and take the tackle. You know, it's funny, Mike. I was saying before you jumped on a few minutes ago, I saw that Zappy was trending on Twitter. So I wanted to see exactly where this came from. No breaking news. Nothing you have to surface to the website or anything like that. More just a number of conversations. Thank goodness. Yeah, I'm a little busy right now to cover it for you as well, and I know you are too. But just conversations because it's the East-West Shrine Bowl this week, and because the Senior Bowl is going on now, about quarterback needy teams and discussions taking place amongst fans online about who looked good this week, who didn't, and if the Patriots will just basically, you know, we don't know which direction they're going to go. There were the conversations that were had this week, like, does Alex Van Pelt coming back mean that Mac's coming back too? And is that going to be part of his job to rebuild Mac while also grooming the QB of the future? Or will the Patriots just flat out gut the room entirely and go with Jacoby Brissett and two draft picks? Like, could they go RG3 style like the team formerly known as the Redskins did in 2012, where they get a top flight quarterback, then a mid-round quarterback, and then have a veteran presence in the room as well? I was reading here... Ryan Fowler said that Keaton Slovis from BYU has spent a lot of time around the Patriots this week. He played at Pitt and USC, so he's like one of those multi-transfer.
That was my boy. I loved him at USC.
Really?
I bet him to win the Heisman like 4 years ago. It didn't pan out.
Slovis.
But I like him. I liked him when he was a Trojan.
Yeah. Anyone else, like, are there any under the radar guys like a Slovis or someone else who may have jumped out to you this week as well? I mean, I know I, like many, watched maybe for 5 minutes and saw Ladd McConkey just basically cook everyone on a route and said, okay, yeah, I'll just grab the Mike Cadlick Patriot SpongeBob reaction picture and point to that, but there's zero chance they'll take him. So give me some of the other guys that jumped out this week to you.
So I love McConkey, and I like Roman Wilson, the wide receiver from Michigan too. He was
good hands on that kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Good hands, rangy, not necessarily a huge like separator like McConkey is, but like a crisp route runner who just, you know, gets himself open. I mean, that impressed me from what I saw from him in Mobile. I mean, Slovis didn't have a great week. We talked about that with Kyrie Thompson earlier this week from the Shrine Bowl. But like looking at the quarterbacks in general, and you mentioned the whole Alex Van Pelt thing, and I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit more in a second. I mean, there's obviously pros and cons with that hire. One of the pros is what you mentioned, Fitzy. It's the fact that he's worked with quarterbacks before, and he sort of, you know, is that he played quarterback in the league too, so he knows what it's like through a lens of the signal caller. So I don't really. I mean, as much as we can sit here and talk about some under-the-radar quarterbacks, like, I still think we have to look at the top-tier guys in, you know, Williams, May, and Daniels, because Ian Rappaport talked about it yesterday on NFL Network, saying that Van Pelt is going to have a hand in what they do at the top of the draft and sort of, maybe not at the top of the draft, but developing that next quarterback. So that sort of needs to be the focus, I think. I don't think they should take a tackle. I don't even know if they should take Marvin Harrison. It's going to depend. Again, we're talking about this, and it just turned into February. But right now, long story short, I look at, you know, you need to look at these top tier quarterbacks. And then from there, people who stand out at these bowls should be, you know, your second, your third round picks. Guys like, you know, the tackles like Tyler Guyton, who me and Andy talked about this week. Again, those wide receivers, your Wilsons, your McConkeys, like, I don't know if they'll bring in a guy like Ladd McConkey, but I'm looking at, you know, again, quarterback at the top and everything else at the bottom because it's the number one position. You have a guy in here who's worked at the position before, so let's sort of develop that next guy and then use those two, three, four, five rounds for your filler positions.
So big picture question, but I'm going to have a specific example here because you just mentioned my guy Guyton, who we talked about on the one-off. Yeah. And I've read that he didn't have a great week in practice, looked a little raw, hand placement technique, which is not surprising. He's sort of a developmental guy with freakish upside. I take that as a positive because coming in, I had saw rumblings like, oh, this guy could go in the top 16 picks in the draft. Well, yeah. Maybe a bad Senior Bowl week drops him to, hey, 34, let's say, for the Patriots.
Yeah, right.
So, where do you put the Senior Bowl in terms of a guy like that that has either a good or a bad week in terms of the value along the road here to get to the draft? Is this like a 20% share and then the combine's another 20 and then you already had 60% from their playing? Like, how valuable is this week in this game to increase or decrease a player's stock?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think you know, it really goes position by position, person by person, right? Like, you know, you and Gresh talked with Jim Nagy about this a few weeks ago. He was talking about how, you know, they really thought they had Jaden Daniels coming to this thing. And then he goes out and wins the Heisman, and his stock is sky high. And now he doesn't even need to go to the Senior Bowl because he has nothing, you know, more to prove. And he also, not only does he have nothing more to prove, but he also doesn't want to plummet his stock by going out there and having a bad week. So it also happens with the combine, right, where guys won't run or guys won't throw because they're either going to run at their pro day or they don't want the number out there or they're just going to throw at the pro day because they have their receivers and it's not guys that they never worked with. So it's all very calculated from each, you know, each player's camp. Look, I think Michael Penix this week practiced all week and he decided not to play today. So you wonder if that's a calculated thing where, oh, okay, you don't want to go out there. You don't want to get hurt, a guy who's tore two ACLs in the past, or if it's just, well, I did my time and now I'm going to bounce. So, I mean, Roman Wilson, who we talked about, practiced twice, and he got out of there. So it is interesting, and I really do think it's player by player. I don't think, personally, when I look at it, like, I don't think it can hurt you to go out there and, you know, just play football because it shows that you want to play football. Now, granted, if Bo Nix were to throw four interceptions.
Just going to say, talk about the Bo Nix principle. The guy, like, somebody snaps a football to someone else and Bo Nix appears like Beetlejuice, like, you rang?
Well, right, that's the thing. It's like, you know, it's tough to knock a guy for going to play, but it's also, you know, don't go out there and throw three interceptions. So it's, you know, it's not perfect. It's hard to, you know, calculate what these guys should or shouldn't do. But, you know, long story short, I think it's a piece of that pie. It's a piece of the portfolio that these teams ultimately look at before, you know, before draft day in April.
Mike Kadlec, our beat reporter at WEEI and WEEI.com for the New England Patriots, joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. All right, Mike, your initial reaction to the Alex Van Pelt hiring. I'm trying to be more positive about it. I'm looking forward to the idea that we have someone who's actually done it before. I'm kind of trying to give him the hope to the idea he's played the position, he's coached the position, he's been around a number of different offenses. Others will say it's a retread hire. There's nothing sexy. There's nothing exciting. We wanted Shanahan. We wanted McVay. We wanted new, progressive. If it was going to be something like this, you should have just given us McDaniels. The reactions have been wide-ranging and have been coming in fast and mostly furious. How do you feel about the hire?
Andy's going to love my answer to this one. Yep. I'm kind of on the fence.
Oh, of course you are.
That's it. Come on. Hang up on him. He's never a welcome back. That's it. Jesus.
So, all right. So there
has
are
Andy
there,
taught you really, nothing.
there are positives and negatives to both of this.
Oh my God!
With everything in life, there's pros and cons. What are you doing?
God. Do you work in HR or are you the beat guy? Come on.
No. All right. I do. I lean towards it being a positive.
Of course,
so
you
I'll go
do.
With the positive. What do you want? Tell me what you want. I'll lean more towards the positive to start this thing off, and here's why. And it's exactly what you mentioned, Fitzy. It's the fact that he has worked with quarterbacks before, and he's been a quarterback in the league, and so he knows what makes those guys tick. And it's not a guy who you talk about a retread. Yes, it is a retread, but it's also a guy who, you know, isn't going to bolt for a head coaching job in 2 years because that's never really been, you know, his forte. Maybe it's because he hasn't been that good, but
yep.
it's also not like, it's not like Zach Robinson, right? Who obviously we all wanted Zach Robinson here, but he comes in, he runs the system, he excels, and he leaves in 2 years, and he got to rejolt the whole thing again. Where if Van Pelt can, you know, work with the front office, they bring in a guy, whether it's Drake May or whoever, call it Drake May for now, right? And they get to work together for the next 5-10 years, and maybe Van Pelt stays for a lot longer because he's 53 and he doesn't, again, go take a coach. Even if it's 5 years, right? They build something, and he's not going to bolt in 2 years. So I really do like, because if it was Nick Caley, Caley's never worked with quarterbacks. He's worked with tight ends, and that's pretty much it. So then you were going to have to bring in a quarterback's coach, and maybe they're not on the same page as the OC. So I do like the fact that the offensive coordinator is a quarterback's guy. So that's my positive spin on it. The negatives, I mean, it's obvious. He was just fired in Cleveland because they didn't, you know, they wanted to go in a different direction, whether that's a new age, modern direction, which I know Andy loves those buzzwords about the offense, but
yeah.
They wanted to go into a different direction, so he was canned in Cleveland that last year. But he didn't do a bad job. They worked with 4 or 5 starting quarterbacks.
Five.
Obviously, Joe Flacco comes in, and they end up going to the playoffs and, you know, doing their whole thing. So that's – but, again, the negatives, he was just fired. He's been sort of a retread. He's been around the block. He's, you know, been an OC before. But what I just talked about being a head coach, he hasn't really made that next jump yet. So you wonder what his ceiling is and if it's just kind of a guy who's just going to, you know, come in here and wait around and not really do anything and then have to go. So I do, though, I lean more positive strictly because of the fact that he has the quarterback experience, and that is really the number one need around here is, you know, bringing in and developing that next quarterback.
Well, I'd let Andy bite your head off and give you the business more, but we're already, quote, up against it and then some here.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, that's the excuse why.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
You can hear more from Mike when he joins Andy, sometimes myself, and others on Wednesdays on the one-off Wednesday edition of the Six Rings and Football Things podcast. He joins us on the broadcast side, occasionally filling in for your old pals Fitzy and Hart on the Rich Keefe Show. He's all over the place. He's got a little bit of something to offer. Stay tuned at Mike Cadlick on the Twitter machine as well, and you can read him at WEEI.com. I'm sure there'll be more talk about who shone brightest at the Senior Bowl and the Shrine Bowl and which draft crushes you should fall in love with only to see them end up with the Jets, the Vikings, or the Cardinals sometime soon. Mike, thanks for the time as always. And anytime Andy pushes this way, you make sure you push back and you stay in your lane and stay positive, guy.
Yeah, you got it, fellas. Thanks for having me. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for jumping in.
Wait, did he not have pickles last night? I didn't get a chance to ask him. I didn't see it on my Twitter feed. Was it not Pickle Pizza Friday?
It's always Pizza Friday.
I didn't see. I gotta check his timeline. Actually, I just realized that I didn't see the usual Friday pizza tweet.
He always tweets out it's Pizza Friday.
Yeah, I missed it.
Wait, was that not Mike Cadlick? Was that an impersonator?
No,
Joe Braverman, who'd you book?
That's when I tried to make alternate pronunciations for tweet and said a word you're not allowed to say on the radio.
My stomach hurts. I know what you meant there, Joe, but the way you walked
careful.
Into that
one. Careful.
We have enough people coming at us these days,
Joe,
show at the station.
Joe, with... Joe.
All right, 617.
Transposing letters can get you in trouble.
Oh, dear Lord, that was just the laugh I needed. All right, 617-779-7937.
Jesus.
Oh, even he can't help us now. All right, here is Bo Draverman with What's Trending Now.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Right, I'm dropping in now. You got to be professional for this trending update. No Bruins until Tuesday, but they are well represented at the All-Star Game, which will take place in just a couple of hours, actually less than an hour. The first game, head coach Jim Montgomery will be coaching Dean Matthews, Jeremy Swayman will be the goaltender, one of the two for Team McKinnon, and David Pastrnak will be on the line as part of Team McDavid. Some other news going around the NHL. The league announced yesterday that players will be able to participate in the 2026 Olympics, which will take place in Italy. Players hadn't been able to compete since the Sochi Olympics back in 2014, and also Commissioner Gary Bettman added that there will be a four-team mid-season tournament beginning in 2025 called the Four Nations Face-Off. Celtics will return to the TD Garden floor tomorrow evening when they welcome the Memphis Grizzlies to town. This will be the first visit from former Celtics guard Marcus Smart since being traded in the offseason. However, Smart remains out as he deals with a severe right ring finger injury. We're getting more information about the return of Theo Epstein to the Red Sox. MassLive's Chris Cattell reports that Fenway Sports Group brought Epstein in as a senior advisor due to ownership, privately acknowledging that they have at times not given the club the attention it has deserved in recent years. And this breaking in the NFL from Adam Schefter, former Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury officially pulled out of the offensive coordinator job with the Raiders, and all signs are pointing to him becoming the offensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I feel better about it. No insult to Nick Caley. I feel better about it than I would have if it was Nick Caley. Alex Van Pelt has been a coordinator, as you said, for Cleveland since 2020. He cycled through a number of different quarterbacks, including this year Joe Flacco, bringing him in off the street. And yes, he's a very experienced quarterback, but you still have to get him up to speed. They cycled through Deshaun Watson down to backup quarterbacks and got them ready to go.
See, who are the five quarterbacks that Alex Van Pelt had to work with this year? It was Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Yep.
P.J. Walker.
Yep.
Joe Flacco. Who's the fifth?
Another guy.
Oh, A.G.? He's something else.
Yeah. A.G. for A.V.P.
That was Tom E. Curran from NBC Sports Boston, speaking positively of the new coordinator for the New England Patriots on offense, Alex Van Pelt. I do not believe that Mr. Curran has any reason to carry the organization's water at that point. You think so. Why would that be?
I wouldn't say the organization's water. I think Tom Curran has a very good personal... Gerard Mayo was the co-host of Quickslants. Like, they're buddies.
Right. I know he's pulling for him. I get it.
And he should. He should be. It'd be like if, you know, Paul Perillo was the new head coach. I would take everything Andy Hart said with a grain of salt. That's my guy. I'm going to Mike Giardi. If he like, that's my guy. You should probably take some of what I say with a grain of salt because I like these people. I'm rooting for them. There's no shame in carrying water for a friend. I think the shame comes when you carry water for somebody who's not a friend. Like we listened earlier to Crap Sheet carrying water just because he's just a bucket.
Come on. You're too much, guy. You're too much. No, I get it. I see what you're saying. Obviously, he may have a little bit. Well, some may even say bias. He's not bought and sold or bought and paid for in that capacity per se. But he may be rooting because yes,
yeah.
He's worked with them. They got along. They have a previous relationship as well, and not just media guy covering former linebacker turned coach. I get it. But do you think he would have defended Kaley or Robinson or Getsy or Kubiak or any of these guys the same way?
Well, I mean, on TV, his first response on TV was he thinks Alex Van Pelt is a better hire than Nick Kaley. Mm-hmm. I just disagree. I don't see how you can look at their track records and say that. I mean, I guess if you prioritize age and experience in a league where age and experience are being devalued. And my other issue here is, and I don't blame the Patriots for this, but there was, because I don't think the Patriots ever said this, but there was a perception and a narrative that they wanted a young, up-and-coming offensive mind from the McVay-Shanahan tree, right? Like, wasn't that kind of accepted as what they were looking for?
Mm-hmm. At least that's what we were following the breadcrumb trail or the tea leaves or however you want to describe it. That's what we were led to believe.
So if that's true, they didn't get that.
Or maybe that's not what they wanted, Andy. Back to what I said in the previous hour. Maybe
they might
that's
have
what
wanted a journeyman quarterbacks coach.
Maybe what they were doing was their research. They wanted to talk to as many people that had some association with that had worked or come up in that scheme and system, see if that's what fit for them or if that's what they wanted. And then ultimately they decided the best course of action is to go with someone who's done it before, who has a little bit more experience.
Josh McDaniels.
Maybe what I heard, which was he was the only guy who said yes to the dress.
You don't think Josh McDaniels would have said yes? And I don't know if he would have.
I wonder.
I think he probably would have. I mean, he's collecting a paycheck from the Raiders for the next three more years, four more years. I forget what it is. I think that's one of the problems I have here. So Alex Van Pelt was not what we were told they were looking for in terms of young McVay Shanahan tree go getter up and comer new age blah blah blah. But he's also not nearly as experienced or accomplished as Josh McDaniels. So how should he be at the top of any list, regardless of what you were looking for?
Yeah, that's why I'm still just as surprised that he came from absolutely out of nowhere, just absolutely out of nowhere to land the job. I mean, I didn't even know he was interviewing. I don't think a lot of us did. Then all of a sudden,
I don't think he knew until they called.
Until he's like, wait,
you know,
hey,
this is Alex Van Pelt, right?
Yeah, Alex, when we called you to see, you know, if you were interested in talking to us about the gig, well, turns out you got it. okay.
I bet he was as surprised as anyone.
A couple little notes. I'm not sure to what extent Joe covered it in the trending, but let's see. Kingsbury will be the new OC with the New Orleans. Clint Kubiak, son of Gary, will be the new offensive coordinator with the Saints. So they are going for something different and progressive, if you will, as the kids like to say. Whereas the old Kingsbury withdrew himself from consideration for the job Colin plays for the Raiders. Breer said it was a contractual hangup. And now the Commanders are among the teams that are swooping in and trying to hire him. That would be interesting going to with Dan Quinn down there as the offensive coordinator, which could put Eric Bieniemy, obviously now on the open market as well.
Surprised
the Patriots didn't want to talk to him.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
Like that's the one of all the different possible offensive coordinator, candidates, interviews, or potential, you know, hires that they could have made. Why not speak to Bieniemy? I mean, worked with Mahomes, knows a lot about Reed, did a pretty good job last year doing what he could with that offense and the dysfunctional mess that was.
Here's the thing, though. Do you remember the story earlier in the year about how the locker room felt disconnected with Bieniemy?
Yeah, and I think that's
because
probably
he was
your
hard
answer.
On them.
Right. Wah. But that, well, your new coach teaches from a place of love. Your new coach deals with wah-wahs in different ways than the old wah-wahs would have. Like, this is, and that could be an issue. He's a bit of a hard-o, hard-ass, old-school mentality, and that's not. This is a place where love is in the air in Foxborough. It's all about love these days. Peace, love, and happiness, man.
What?
Thank now you, Bob Marley.
Yeah.
New movie coming out. You see that?
You know what? Yes, he does. And we all can't wait to see it. Peace, love, happiness. And of course, Andy, you can't get into the postseason football talk and more without peace, love, and snacks. And I would like to remind everyone... It was a seamless professional transition.
Well done. It was so obvious. I don't know why I didn't see it. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Braverman threw us off the rails, and I don't anticipate we're going to get back on them anytime soon. You know what? I really don't want to, because this is just the kind of show and day we all need. WEEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. Now, I would say... No one does salty better than Andy Hart, and no one does cheesy better than Nick Fitzy Stevens. But then again, we also don't make Dipsy Doodles, Cheesy Puffs, and more. So Wise Snacks, thank you very much for sponsoring WEEI's coverage of the football postseason. And we got a lot coming up in the next week plus that you guys are not going to want to miss. Over the next week and a half on the Six Rings podcast, we'll be joined by Mike Lombardi to catch up on all things NFL, Mahomes, Chiefs, Patriots, Belichick, and more. In a week and a half's time, Jeff Benedict, author of The Dynasty, which is set to be released in 13 days as a 5-night, 10-part docuseries from Apple TV Plus, will join me and Andy for an exclusive 1-hour Facebook Live and podcast, which we can't wait for. We have many copies of the books to give away as well in the coming weeks, so stay tuned for that. And next Sunday, quite frankly, maybe the most electric 3 hours in all of FM football sports radio that's ever been broadcast, recorded, and consumed. That'll be WEEI's Big Game Brunch next Sunday from 8 a to 11 a. It's Fitzy, it's Hart, it's Keefe, it's Shime, it's Donuts, it's Bloody Marys, it's Coffee, it's Casserole, and it's not anything more than 3 hours of all of us getting together for a breakfast, a brunch, and Super Bowl talk. Don't miss. Lock it in right now. Set your calendars, your alarms. Tell Siri and Google and Alexa and everyone to program it right now. Clear the calendar and get ready, Andy. It is going to be absolutely spectacular. All right, let's clean the deck for any other things. We talked a lot of Red Sox today. Oh, I wanted to add the Bill O'Brien to Boston College to be head coach. At first, I saw a lot of hand-wringing and harumphing about the idea, like, well, he's already agreed to the job with Ohio State. There's no way he could possibly do this. That's wrong, isn't it? How could you agree to one job? I'm not sure if he signed a contract or if it was just a verbal agreement, and then bail. I know, you know, Bill Belichick would be like, well, you just write down on a napkin you don't want to do this job anymore and hand it to somebody. How do you sort of like make sense of all this, and do you think it's going to happen sometime soon? I'd love to see him stick around the area, if I may just add author's note.
So would he. He wants to live here. He wants to be here. Obviously, it didn't work out the way he probably expected and projected with the Patriots this last year. I don't know who their other candidates are. I know there were reports that there were a lot of interviews going on. They're obviously scrambling. You don't see a Power 5 job open at this point in the process all too often. So I think those unique circumstances probably open the door for him to kind of turn his back on Ohio State. I mean, I'm sure they won't be happy down there, the Buckeyes. But it's also, I mean, Bill Belichick did it. Josh McDaniels did it. Some of the people he's been around have done this. Circumstances on the change. This is a weird situation. It's a really weird situation where a job comes available in February because Jeff Hafley turned his back on BC to go to the NFL. Mm-hmm. And Bill O'Brien has had his eye on this job for a long time. I think he has. It's weird to say that Bill O'Brien, who coached Penn State at Alabama, head coach in the NFL, had his eye on a job at Boston College. But I think he has. And some of its location in Massachusetts. And I don't know if this is maybe one of his last jobs, like, so he doesn't really care what people think. If this is right for him and right for his family and BC thinks it's right for them, maybe he signs like a 10-year deal and you go, you know what? Nobody's leaving us anymore. We got our coach. He used to be Penn State's coach. He used to be at Alabama. This is the best guy for Boston College. This is the best place for Bill O'Brien. So I think you can make a strong argument that this is a strange situation. That yes, some of the details and the way it plays out is weird, but it might be the best thing for everybody involved.
I agree. I bet if he knew that Halfley was going to be jumping ship,
right,
at some point, he probably would not have gone through the whole routine with Ohio State and having to make sense or try to make a clean extraction out of an awkward situation at this point. But it always makes sense. Everyone knew that he's got the ties up here. He didn't want to go anywhere. Taking the job last year wasn't just getting out of Alabama. It was coming home and hopefully yep. finding a spot he could belong forever. It makes all the sense in the world. Personally, I'll be a Billy O fan. I'm sorry that it didn't work out last year at all in so many ways, and I'm sure he feels the same, but we're moving on, and I'll be a fan of his, and I'll root for him. And I do think he's the best candidate for the job, and I think he can restore some of the luster, some of the power, some of the name to BC. The college football landscape is so weird, so wild, so shaken up, so muddy right now. Couldn't in a lot of ways. Bill O'Brien with some good recruiting, a couple of local backers, a little NIL action, and some transfer portal work get this team up and running pretty quickly, rather?
Well, I want to be careful because I think the Heights is still a tough place to do business as the head football coach.
Okay.
The financial landscape, I think things are going to change dramatically in the coming years. They have to rein some of this in. I mean, you got Chip Kelly trying to get out of UCLA. You got Chip Kelly talking about taking either NFL offensive coordinator jobs or offensive coordinator jobs at other schools. There's a rumor/report that Chip Kelly's interested in going to Iowa to be the offensive coordinator. He's the head coach at UCLA. Like, what is going on in college football? So I want to be careful putting too much pressure on Bill O'Brien, but if you look at his resume, what he's done, and people mm-hmm. forget, this guy was an offensive coordinator at Georgia Tech back in the day. Like, he has paid his college dues as much as his pro dues. Mm-hmm. Super Bowls, Tom Brady, recruiting, local guy, fire, energy, stand-up nature, what he did at Penn State behind the scenes. I mean, BC is really fortunate if Bill O'Brien is interested in that job, because they're not going to get a better candidate. And again, a little bit like we said about Van Pelt, I don't think Billy O would be looking at it as a stepping stone job. Billy O, I think, would be looking at it as, this program's going to be about Bill O'Brien for maybe the rest of my coaching career, and Boston College would be so lucky to have him.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. And lastly, just cleaning up the other news, notes and nuggets, the Kraft sent out a season ticket member letter this week. I don't even know if I can read that one anymore, although I do have also there was, where is this? So we got that, biggest draft. They're committed more than ever to, I feel like I've read this before. Okay, I appreciate that. But, the results will speak for themselves.
Doc is cheap.
I don't know if I can read any more letters. And Patriots tickets aren't until the end of the season.
No.
Steve Belichick interviewing with Vinny Sunseri out in Washington, possibly could be joining Jed Fish's staff, which means the assistant head coach position could still be wide open, unlike most Patriots receivers last year. What do you think about that?
So I think it's a great idea for Steve Belichick to go out, branch out on his own, but with a familiar face in Jed Fish. And who knows, maybe Steve Belichick, who the one issue we've always heard is that he's not real comfortable standing in front of a room of men. Remember, that was the whole idea, like mm-hmm. Gerard Mayo runs the meetings, but Steve Belichick calls the plays, runs the defense on game day. Well, maybe he'd be more comfortable talking to college kids, to 18, 19, 20-year-old young men. Maybe his future is in the college game down the road. So at least getting a taste of that with Jed Fish, who's done a nice job since leaving New England, went mm-hmm. to Arizona and did a good job there. I like that move for Steve Belichick. I think that's a really interesting opportunity for him. And you just said it. If he's not going to be the assistant head coach, well, then maybe Josh McDaniels can be the assistant head coach, and you can get me to be somewhat more happy and upbeat about the offense and AVP.
Then I would feel like the new offensive coordinator's legs are being cut out from under him immediately once again. But at the same time, we could use a lot of bright minds around here to help turn things around. So, okay. All right.
Collaboration. The C word. Remember last year we talked about the C word? It
Gerard
was competency.
Talked about it.
Now it's a different
competence
C word.
Was last year's C word.
Yes.
Andy.
We have a new C word. Collaboration. Collaboration is what is going on in Patriot Nation.
We will be back in just a moment to wrap things up and put a bow on this puppy. The Travis Thomas Experience is coming up shortly after our program, so you're not going to want to go anywhere for more great energy Boston sports talk and beyond. When we come back, a letter I do want to share with you all, and then a quick memory 22 years ago today when things on the Boston sports landscape and life as a Patriots fan changed forever. It's Fitzy and Hart wrapping it up. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Warner lost it. And Ricky Pearl is going to score. Here comes the blitz, and here's Brady. He dumps it to Wiggins, down to the 30, and now no question about it, they are in range. Brady in Portland, so he makes it, and it's right down the pipe. Adam Vinatieri. No time on the clock, and the Patriots have won Super Bowl 36.
Some of the highlights from the Fox TV broadcast of Super Bowl 36, when 22 years ago today, the New England Patriots, 14-point underdogs against a team they had gone toe-to-toe with just 2.5 months prior at the long-since-now-defunct Foxborough Stadium. Some still call it Schaefer. Maybe some even remember it as Sullivan. They had lost 24-17. In November to the Los Angeles Rams to go 5-5. Mike Martz said, watch out, that's a pretty good team over there. Don't be surprised if we see him again. They sure did. And before that game began, Ricky Prohl told NFL Films, tonight a dynasty is born. He just had no idea that it was the other team that would become the dynasty. What a game, what a memory. The Summerall call, as Pat was probably well past his broadcasting prime, lacks all of the local joy and celebratory glee that came with Gil Santos and Gino Cappelletti, my favorite broadcast team forever and ever and ever. Andy, I saw you tweet out something earlier. Were you on the sidelines for that game?
Yes.
Wow. What was that like? Honestly, I mean,
that was pretty cool.
I imagine it was pretty cool. Yeah. Could you believe what you were seeing live in person? Like, could you believe it was playing out the way it did?
No. And you remember the Tabucky got called back? There was like a scoop and score, but also
McGinnis
got called
destroyed.
Back.
Yeah. Didn't McGinnis destroy Falk, and then yep. Tabucky returned at 95?
Yeah, that was like disbelief. That whole thing, like that was so the Ty Law play, awesome, obviously electric, and then the Tabucky play. But then the Tabucky play gets wiped out, and you're just riding like this weird energy of emotional up and down on the sideline, mm-hmm. and it got a little hairy there at the end, but obviously just a very cool moment.
Yeah, it spectacular.
My favorite part of that story is I had to go to the bathroom before halftime, so I was run. You like these stories. I was running down the tunnel to turn the corner where I knew the bathroom was, and you know who I almost quite literally ran over on the way to the bathroom?
Bon Jovi.
You were very, very close. Sound that out a little differently. Think of who the halftime show was.
Bono?
Oh, Bono. You're kidding.
I may have, if I had made contact and run him over, maybe he doesn't get to come out for what is arguably one of the greatest halftimes in history. I could have sent him to the hospital.
No, inarguably the greatest.
And you would have been the world's hatest person. Most hated
world's
person.
World's hatest person.
Stop
Joe,
saying
I am
funny
on a roll
things.
This year.
Joe, honestly, you and words just not working out well today. No. That's fine. No big deal. I was great. The unbelievable memory. That is truly one of the ultimate New England Patriots fan, Boston sports fan, just NFL fan. Remember where you were in moments. What an upset. What a game. What a kick. And a legend was born. A goat began the journey. And a dynasty truly had been given birth to that night. Real quick, I just wanted to share for the sake of laughter on the way out the door.
What, my comments weren't enough?
Yeah, replay his comments from earlier.
This went viral earlier today. This is an actual official release from the Embassy of Japan. What? The Embassy of Japan and the USA statement. This rap sheet tweeted Instagram this 6 hours ago, Andy. The Embassy of Japan in the United States is aware of recent media reports concerning the steps Taylor Swift will need to take to travel from Tokyo after her concert February 10th to Las Vegas in time to watch the Kansas City Chiefs play Super Bowl 58. Despite the 12-hour flight and 17-hour time difference, the embassy can confidently speak now, that's in bold, to say that if she departs Tokyo in the evening after her concert, she should comfortably arrive in Las Vegas before the Super Bowl begins. We know that many people in Japan are excited to experience Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, so we wanted to confirm that anyone concerned can be, bold again, fearless in knowing that this talented performer can wow Japanese audiences and still make it to Las Vegas to support the Chiefs when they take the field for the Super Bowl wearing, once again, bold in italics, red. We have reached peak nonsense, everybody. Yeah, thank you, the Ryland Doink. Peak nonsense, and my only comment, the number of people rooting for the 49ers grows by the day.
Yeah, they should be careful with Taylor Swift in Japan. Don't they know she's a government, what's it called? FIOP or whatever they... Oh, yeah. She's a political tool weapon. There's a whole... The MAGA peeps.
PSYOP.
PSYOP. That's the word.
PSYOP. Tool weapon is also pretty perfect. And on those glorious and well-articulated notes, we'll wrap up today.
Better than what Joe said.
Wrap up today's edition of Fitzy and Hart. Good job, Joe Braverman. Good job, Andy. Good job. Thank you very much to Brad Foe and Mike Cadlick, who joined us today, and you, the great callers and listeners of WEI. Don't you go anywhere. Travis Thomas with his Travis Thomas experiences coming your way for the next 3 hours on Boston Sports Original WEI. See you, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.